time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 8th of September 2012. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday, the 8th of September, Emma Bowe Warner talked to Aladir Sarin and Kathy Ogletree from Kaleidoscope Performance, gardener James Kilpatrick, Roger Bryant from Wycos, free-range egg campaigner Forrest Denise, and Marla Summerson, organiser of the Waiheke Island Folk Festival.
Well, we've got our first guest in the studio this morning, and
Is this thing on?
It is on. Yes, I'm a little bit overwhelmed by the smell, but we won't go too far. I believe I'm talking with Mr. Dubry. Mr. Dubry?
It's Dooley. It's so simple. I don't understand why people just don't get Dooley.
I apologise, Mr. Dufry. I will make sure that you're called by your correct name.
Well, it's not much to ask, is it?
No, not Mr. Dufry. I would just like to introduce you to Waiheke Radio and say you're actually on air now. So if we could keep the shouting down to a minimum, that would be much appreciated.
Righto.
I believe that you are head fungi, fungi of some sort, to do with.
No. See, this is another misapprehension.
Yes, I'm very apprehensive. I can tell you.
I'm not a fungi. I'm a fun guy.
Right, you're a fun guy. You're like a little bit of boogie.
I'm a fun guy.
You're a fun guy. Yes. It's not been much fun so far in the studio, listeners. I can tell you. But anyway, go on.
Well, what do you want to know?
Well, frankly, without being too rude, what the heck are you doing here in my studio? I've got proper guests coming in.
I've been sent along because I'm here to advertise to all of the boys and girls listening.
We don't do advertising on Waiheke Radio. I'll just stop you right there. You're promoting.
Right, is it going to be like this for the rest of the show?
Be like what, Mr. Dufry?
This blatant... abuse and intimidation.
Intimidation?
This is how you treat mushrooms, is it?
I'm very fond of mushrooms.
Oh, right,
very
here we go. I get it.
Some of my best friends are mushrooms.
Is that right? Lightly fried in garlic.
Absolutely, that's the best way, yes.
Well, I'm here because evil old witch has sent me down to talk a little bit about the fact that the Kaleidoscope Performing Company wish to move out of the Artwork Cinema.
Right. And, Artwork Cinema? Are they based in the cinema?
If you knew me, you'd know that my mind is...
Is cotton wool, yeah. Yes. A little bit crazy.
At the Artworks Theatre and moved to our own premises down Tahi Road. Now, I, for one...
Can we just say a little bit slow? Move to your own premises down where?
Tahi Road.
Tahi Road. Interesting.
I'm very much looking forward to this.
Right,
because I've been stuck at the back of the Artworks Theatre for something like the last 2 or 3 years.
Is that why you're so smelly, if I may ask?
Well, it is. I've been stuck up to my neck in compost, and that blooming witch, she only turned me the right way up last week.
I see.
I understand that down at Tahi Road, well, apart from the fact that it's troll-free, the streets are paved with gold, and the air is filled with the delightful tinkle of industrious fairies, much more suitable for a mushroom of my
much
delicate
more,
sensibilities.
Yes. I can see how that that would suit the mushroom family a lot better. But how are you going to do this? What are you going to do?
Well, it's very simple, and I understand that it goes at. That was entirely the wrong button. That was supposed to be thunder. Shall we try this one?
There's some water. There's obviously a flood.
Oh. I can hear someone arriving.
Oh, right. Do you know, I'm getting scared now.
Right, well, I'm off. I'm out. You know,
that's great. Thanks. Leave me, Mr. Dubry.
Hello, Vonda.
Oh.
Yes, it's
Vonda. Yes, and it's Mr. Dooley to you. Goodbye.
Hello, Mr. Droopy.
Nice.
Are you feeling a little cold this morning? Your head seems terribly small.
Smaller
than usual, darling. A little bit shriveled, actually.
Yeah, I think he's past his sell-by date, frankly, but anyway.
Darling, I must say, what is your name?
My name's Emma.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm the host of today. You're a little bit scary. If you could just step off my toes, that would be nice.
Terribly sorry. Yeah,
there's no need to breathe down my neck. I'm so thin.
She's got breath that can wilt a flower in 100 yards. It's horrible.
I'm definitely wilting. Hello. I'm surprised. I wasn't expecting a witch, a fully clothed... Anyway, I'm a little bit scared this morning, so hello, would you?
Well, hello there. Get your finger out of there, Mr. Dripfeed.
Yes, if you could remove all fingers.
Hey! All right, it's going. Excuse me, I'm out of here. I'm going. Don't mind me. I'm off.
Thank goodness for that. Now we can concentrate. Yes, go away.
So, I'm very pleased to welcome you. Is this your first time at Wahiki Radio?
It is, darling. It's just fabulous.
Oh, great. And you're not here to cast a spell or anything
like
that?
No. We just need to rally the island to get our own premises.
I see. Yes, Mr. Dubry was talking about that. So what is it that you're going to do to enable you to get your own premises? Are you going to cast spells on us all, are you?
Well, I think that Kaleidoscope has cast its spell well enough. I think it's up to everybody to really pull together and get our new dollhouse, which is in Tahi Road, so I can fill it full of children and make them into dollies like I have before.
Oh, I see. So you want to turn all the island children into dolls. That's fantastic. And as well as that, we'll have a little bit of theatre.
Oh, yes, and dancing and singing and all sorts of wonderful things.
Fantastic. So have you got a plan of how you're going to do that then? You still talked about rallying, so...
Well, we have a fundraiser tomorrow.
Oh, right.
At Tahurahi, raising lots of lovely little bits of money so we can get our new place. And we're going to have cotton candy and sausage sizzle.
Oh, lovely.
And mushroom on a spit.
I shouldn't laugh. Oh my gosh, there's one scary witch, everybody. One
oh my
scary.
Goodness! Oh no! Oh. I see something up from the window!
Yes, that's...
It is the biggest witch of them all!
Oh, that's
it's
a bit...
It's Cathy Ogletree! I must fly! Fly! Bye-bye, darling!
Oh my god, that was terrifying. Oh, I'm so glad you came in, Cathy. You can save me from that scary witch. She was horrific.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Really, I'm terribly sorry that my characters escape every now and then.
Yeah, it's. I've got to say, you really need to have a word with them because that was pretty scary, pretty loud and scary.
Yes, well, I'm so sorry about that. And,
but anyway, it's nice to see you.
Thank you so much.
So, thanks for coming in. And what are we going to chat about this morning?
I guess we'll just chat about where we're looking to, get Kaleidoscope and to move and to just, our plans for the future. Kaleidoscope has pretty much grown out of its hall hire and all that sort of stuff. So we really need a place of our own so we can spread out. We've got so many costumes. We've got so many props that are just spread out all over the island and lost thousands of dollars worth of gear that it's getting to the point where it's just getting silly and not efficient anymore.
Right.
But in saying that, I heard... on the airwaves that Mr. Dooley said we're trying to get out of Artworks Theatre. We're not, actually. What we're trying to do is just centralise our operations.
Yeah.
And we'd still be using the theatre, obviously, because...
as a performance space at the moment.
Yeah. Absolutely,
but
yeah.
You just need your own base, essentially.
We need our own base. That's right. And, we're only doing 2 days a week, but with the storage that I've got in town, we're spending over $20,000 per year just on that.
No way, really?
Yeah. And it's just ridiculous.
Right,
it's
okay.
It's really ridiculous. Yeah. So,
and, the stuff that you're doing, the work that you're doing with all the island kids is so fantastic that I'm sure everybody will want to... really get behind you and support it. So what can they do? So there's a fundraiser tomorrow.
There is a fundraiser tomorrow.
Tell us about that.
We're starting at 11 o'clock and we're going till 4.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we'll just be selling lots and lots of yummy cakes and we'll have a karaoke, we'll have an open mic so kids can come, or even grown-ups actually, can come and perform anytime, anything they want to. Mr. Dooley will be there telling stories.
Oh, that's a shame. But anyway, yeah.
Well,
he can be quite entertaining, can't he?
Yes, he can be.
Yes.
And we've got sausage sizzle, we've got lots of games and things. So, yeah, it's all about just raising our profile a little bit more.
Great.
And saying that this is where we want to go.
Yeah, and that's at Tahurahi School?
It's at Tahurahi School, yes. And we've also put in funding applications as much as we can. So our deadline is the 1st of October, and we really need a significant chunk of that first year of rent because we have to modify the premises to put down a floor.
Right.
So we really want to concentrate on that and also set up a place to actually hang all the costumes and things. So if we can get that first year of rent fairly sorted, we can concentrate on getting it all going. And of course then Kaleidoscope will be using it 6 days a week, Sundays for rest, and it would be far more beneficial. We'll be using it for other things other than performing arts, so it won't be just this little elite little group of kids want to sing and dance.
Okay, so what else will it be used for?
Well, I've already started putting together a systemised program for children to come and exercise for a 30-minute period, so to raise the heart rate for 30 minutes. That requires no technique. It doesn't require any skill. It's just about raising the heart rate, lots of running around, lots of, you know, upper body, lower body work.
Great.
For 30 minutes, no attention span necessary, and then move them on out. That's one thing that I want to get into, and also bringing groups from the mainland to do workshops, which we used to do when the island was a lot smaller.
Right.
And we used to bring groups over, and we'd have camps for, you know, through the school holidays, and it was great.
Oh, so, fantastic.
Yeah, there's lots
okay,
of things.
Okay, so lots of plans. Oh, we must come on and let us know how that's gone.
I will.
And let us know how you're progressing with the fundraising as well, because that's really, really important. Oh, yes, and I'm getting a whisper in my ear. I believe Old is having a resurfacing.
Oh, yes, it is. We are rerunning it. Many, many people say that they hadn't seen it and heard great things about it.
Yeah, I'm
very
one of
grateful.
Them, actually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And it turned out really well, and everyone did a fantastic job. Very proud of the whole cast and the production crew. And we are redoing it. We are beginning Labour Weekend, which is the Friday the 19th. Got the shows 20th, 21st, 22nd, and then the following weekend, and then that will be it.
Right, excellent. So you can buy tickets from the Artworks?
No, you buy the tickets from the Information Centre.
Right, okay.
Yes.
All right, that's
and
brilliant.
And door sales.
Brilliant. Okay, well, look, wish you all the best with that, Kathy, and do keep us informed, because I really, really think we should all get behind supporting this venture. So great. Good luck.
Thank you so much,
and
Emma.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks a lot. Bye. All right,
bye.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I'd like to welcome James, our resident gardener, in for his monthly slot into the studio from Green Space. Hi, James. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning. Yes, you know, it's very nice to be here, and the sun is shining for the moment anyway.
Yep. Just make sure you're pointing in that direction. Okay, lovely. Right. I know you want to look at me all the time, but yes. Just keep your eyes on the microphone.
Okay.
And your notes.
Right.
And don't start fiddling with my clothing like the previous guest.
Yes.
Anyway,
no,
never mind. So you've been on holiday, you were saying?
Yes, I have been on holiday. It's a bit of a distant memory now.
I know. It was, all of 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. But it was a really good chance to get away.
Yep, and have a break.
Yes, and really just have a look around. And for my own professional point of view, it was really nice to go and have a look at some other gardens, other parts of the world, different plants, those sorts of things.
It was really because you went to Australia.
Australia, yeah. The land of crocodiles and ants.
And ants.
And things that you probably wouldn't want to find in the garden if you were here.
Yeah, this is true.
So I'm really glad that I work and live here rather than Queensland.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw
those scary spiders.
Yes. And I noticed going to the beach as well, you know, you sort of wander down there and the beach looks amazing, just incredible. And then they have this sign for jellyfish. And then they have a bottle of vinegar hanging off a post, which if you get stung by a jellyfish, it says on the notice board to please pour vinegar all over it.
Or you know what the other thing to do if you're stung by jellyfish is, yeah?
No.
Oh, did you not watch Friends?
No.
Oh, did you not watch? I know this from Friends. You pee on it.
Oh,
well, obviously, usually you can't pee on it yourself. You'd have to get a willing companion.
Mm,
so
I think I saw that on Man vs. Wild once.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm educated from Friends. Ross, Rachel, you know, the general crew. Yeah, they had to. They had to pee on one of them. I can't remember which one it was. I think it could have been. No, not Phoebe or Rachel. What was the other one called? Monica. Possibly it was pee on Monica. Mm. But anyway, we digress. they have vinegar hanging on the beach poles, do they?
Mm. Yeah. So really, it was a very different environment. You know, you are really living with creepy crawlies.
Yep.
And I suppose you would get used to that. But I mean, the gardens still need to be put together there, and they look incredible.
Good.
Everything is really lush, and the colours of some of the plants are just incredible. You know, you sort of you're restricted to obviously a tropical garden, but you know, my word, they do a really good job up there.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So it inspired you, did it, to come back and be even more creative than you already are?
Yes. Well, you know, definitely. I think it's like I said, it's really quite a good way to you know, you sort of, you can take a step back and look at things on holiday. It's really,
yeah,
really good idea.
Well, you've got more headspace, haven't you, when you're away?
Anyway, this month, September,
yes. Woohoo! What have we got?
We've got a few things to talk about. We're talking about a warm, well, obviously things are starting to warm up. The weeds are starting to come back into your garden. There's a few tasks that you guys might want to be thinking about out in your garden. First of all, looking at feeding. A feeding program for your garden would be really important. So if you've got a few plants there that have been weathering the weather all this winter, and they might need a bit of a feed, slow release fertilizer, liquid feeds, those sorts of things it'd be an ideal time this month to be looking at that sort of program.
Now I was going to talk to you about those kind of things, because obviously I lie awake at night wondering about my fertiliser. Mm-hmm. I do too.
Yeah, I know.
Not together, you assume. We don't lie awake together, assuming that. However, what I was wondering was, is there a more organic type of slow-release fertiliser?
Yeah, there is. I use a product called, and I'm not making any money out of this, but BioBoost, which is you can use, which is a slow-release fertiliser. It's made, it's organic. It's the tiny little dark-coloured pellets, so they don't look like you've covered your lawn with hundreds and thousands.
Yeah.
You know, there's that sort of option, and that lasts quite well for 2 or 3 months over the growing season.
Okay, and can we get that locally, or do we have to buy that off island?
You can buy it through. You know, you can order it.
So it's not necessary, because I've not seen that in stock.
No. If you're looking, you know, definitely. I mean, obviously, you can. There's quite a range of fertilisers you can get, and you can look in store and locally. But if you guys are thinking more along the lines of really organic, I mean, you're going to probably be steering along the lines of sheep pellets, and you know, be looking at those sorts of things. Because the other thing in the garden you need to be thinking about this month is, as the rain disappears and everybody starts smiling, it'll be a good chance to start mulching your gardens as well, remulching them. So that's putting a layer of bark or something very similar down on your garden, so that retains the moisture, keeps the weeds down, and just really makes everything you know, just keeps things tidier, because you will find that it does keep the moisture in as well, because as the water we all know, when it comes to summer on the island here,
every drop is precious.
Yeah, so if you can mulch your gardens too, that would be a really good idea this month.
Do you recommend putting newspaper down before you put the layer of the wooden, you know, the mulchy wooden layers, so down, because that helps with keeping the weeds down, doesn't it, as well, like a little weed mat?
I think actually that's better than if you go out and buy all this fabric weed mat and put that down.
That's expensive.
It's very expensive, you know. Yeah. And it's not really you know, it takes a while to put down, and then you have to put irrigation pins down and all sorts of things just to hold it in. But newspaper is just as good, and you feel like you're actually recycling properly.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Because there is some pretty, you know, I mean, really for smaller gardens, it's a perfect idea. You just have to make sure it's not a windy day, because all the But a good tip to use
is wet it first.
Yeah, wet it first. Yeah, wet it down,
make it heavier.
And it's surprising how long it lasts. It's a really good idea.
It's a really big bang then. I think we have another presenter under the desk, the other under the table, that may just have banged his head. Are you still alive under there?
Yes,
there was a bit of a grumpy yes then. I think things may not be going too well under the desk, but anyway, above the desk everything's going fine for once. So yes, we'll just carry on as if that never happened. Anyway, where were we? Mulch and newspaper.
Definitely, that sort of job in the garden is really important. So you know, and the other thing too is if you're thinking about having a nice, enjoyable summer by the beach, it'd be a good chance now to start tidying up your garden before it starts really growing. So,
right.
You know.
So is pruning, is it now the right time for pruning stuff back?
Well, it depends what it is. I mean, you could be...
Husbands?
Yeah, maybe.
Husbands, yeah.
definitely have a look at your hedges in the next couple of months because they need to be done spring and autumn.
Yeah, I tell you, we had some olive trees trimmed, as you know, in on our place. And when did we have them done? Beginning of February. Mm. I tell you, we had them so that we could see over the deck, so we could see the sea. And already sprouted up. Couldn't believe it. I'm really, really... I mean, there must be a good foot and a half's growth already.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, how prolific growing are they?
Yeah, you could be pruning your olives now if you want to. I mean, I know people like to get some professionals in to do it if they're actually getting...
Which I did, yeah.
...produce of it, or if it's at a big height. But you definitely got to keep those under control
because
they really do grow quite
big. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I had thought I'd eradicated the naughty weed. And I've just drove in the other day and noticed a little bit coming back again. So I don't know whether that's that. Well, that's obviously got to be dealt with, but that just seems to not want to go.
Yeah, if a garden's got lots of weeds, it's a healthy garden.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. It's healthy. Good. 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 Great. Mine's definitely healthy then.
Someone told me great gardens have lots of weeds.
Oh, right. I don't think many gardeners would actually say that.
No, I think no.
They'd be horrified.
Yeah. Well, so I suppose the last thing to talk about today is plant of the month.
Plant of the month. How exciting! What have we got this month?
Well, I've sort of gone through the alphabet a bit lately over the last year, so
yeah,
I've gone back to A.
Is that how long we've been doing? A year?
With a baby break. Well, no, we're back to I thought if we're looking at a plant of the month, Astelia banksii.
Oh, good old Astelia.
Now, these chaps are really quite tough.
Speaking to the market.
And they love the dry. And they're also something you could grow. If you've got a pahutakawa that you love on your garden and you've got nothing to grow under it and it's fairly dry, that could be an option.
Right. So describe what it looks like.
Well, it looks like, very simply, it looks like a small flax.
Right.
But it has a silvery green sheen to it.
Ah, yes, okay. Mm.
So, I mean, if you have a big native garden with lots of flax and then you've got your pahutakawa with nothing under it, that would be a good idea.
Mm.
And they are an epiphyte, so that means they can grow without soil.
Yep.
So you could... and you do see different types of astelias.
You can actually grow those ones on fences, can't you?
Well, you could grow them on fences. They also grow in trees as well.
Yeah.
That's a slightly different type of astelia.
Oh, right,
But these are slow-growing. They're tougher. And if you're going to choose an astelia in your garden, it's sort of local to this area. So,
right. Oh, excellent.
It shall survive. If you try and use some of the other astelias, you've just got to be careful that they don't get too wet.
Okay, so just give us the name for that one again.
Astelia banksii or Farafara. So that's the Māori name for it.
Could you say that again, please?
Farafara.
Farafara, okay.
So that's a really good one to put in your garden. Full sun or shade.
Right, okay, excellent. So it's really hardy plant.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you very much, James.
No problem.
Have a great rest of the weekend. I know you're back, you've just taken a break, haven't you,
from
work?
Just a small one.
A small break, but I'll see you again next month. Thanks again very much for coming in.
Okay.
And that was James from Green Space doing the monthly gardening slot. I'd just like to welcome into the studio Roger from Wycos. Hi, Roger.
Good morning.
And Roger as well is having to cuddle up to me in the studio because the other mics have been stolen. They've been stolen for the public debate, but that's all fine. So Roger's coming along from Wycos. He's got a Wycos hat on, and you've got quite a bit to talk about, haven't you, actually? Some good stuff been going on.
Yes, well, it's the time of year again where we've just had our AGM, and, we've got things sorted out, and we've got a few changes to the committee and things down there, and we've got our program planned, and we've got a new directory which we're just launching at the moment.
Yep. So just quickly, for those people that don't know, I'm sure everybody does, but what does WICOS stand for?
WICOS is the Waikiki Island Council of Social Services.
Yep. Right. So it's all the community groups coming together under one umbrella.
Yep.
To make sure that all the I's are being dotted and T's are being crossed.
Yep, we have a marvellous bunch of people there, as I've found out in the last few years. There's a great bunch of people there who really just sort of get down and do the nitty-gritty work, you know, on these things.
Yeah.
And, less talk and more action.
Absolutely, that's what we're about.
I'm really sort of privileged to have met all these people because, you know, it, really after so many years on the island, you know, I found them to be so really good, you know.
Great.
And it is something which is really basic and fundamental, you know, and it's where we should be starting off and looking at. Well, where I looked at it, it was from the beginning of our changes to the political system, the governance and all that, you know, and I sort of came into it. And I've worked in the beginning from... I actually picked on WICOS because it was something which was already in existence.
Okay.
You go, all these new plans, of, you know, making up new plans, new ideas and everything else like that, and they just don't work with what's been going on before. Tried, trusted and true, and very, very relevant in what's happening today.
Mm. Right. Okay, great. Thank you. So how long have you been working with WICOS then? A few years, you said?
Well, in different things, yes. I've really sort of came into a lot of this about 2005 or so when I was trying to get people put into the district plan change, the review of the district plan change at the time, and I've been trying to work out where people fit into all this thing, just the ordinary people, you know, the people who want to go out and do things and everything else like that. And it just all went on and on and on, and you get all these changes in governance, you know, and it's just all been all blooming talk.
Mm.
And still these things have gone on, you know. We still have all these organisations on the island which still sort of carry on, but there's just absolutely nothing left for them. There's plans here, plans there, plans everywhere, you know, but the work still needs to be done.
Well, absolutely, and things need to really come from grassroots, don't they? Often that's where most change is affected.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, we could talk about this all morning, I'm sure.
I've got a heck of a lot on it, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm well known for it.
Let's talk about, you mentioned, I think we talked about that off air, that WICOS has just had its AGM, so let's talk about what came out from there.
Well, from the AGM, we...
If you could just talk to the microphone, Roger, can you bring your notes over? That's absolutely fine.
I'll just bring it over there.
Yeah, that's great.
We just, I mean, basically, this is just sort of setting up the business sort of line of things as, you know, as they go, reporting back on what has happened and everything else like that. And we've got a few changes on the offices and things like that. But they're all one thing there. The big thing that we've really got out is that... We in support of all these community facilities and things like that. And there's the main things that we've sort of lined up as we really want to get done in the coming year, you know. Mm. And our plans are there, and it's involved with plans for youth. And we're looking at victim support, and these are things which has been a problem because there's been... there's been a bit of a gap, put it that way, into what's happening there. We're looking at housing, when you can get hold of somebody from people to talk about these things, and accommodation for various agencies and things like that.
So talking about accommodation for the agencies themselves?
Well, that's one of the things, you know. But the and also you've got the Auckland Council came up with a brand new set of plans about community accommodation, which involves various groups who use council, or, you know, not council
are affiliated
with our own properties, you know, council manages and which charges us for to use again, and they've got this marvellous set of plans and everything else like that. So, but that is one of the things down there. It is probably what we're trying to do is probably get better use of
the facilities
our
we have. Yeah.
Our properties.
Are you talking about places like Surfdale Hall, Mora Hall?
One of the big things is that we've got no centre, no hub for our community, you know, and we've been trying for a long time to get something done, you know, as a community centre, community house and things like that, which are just not around.
No, you're right.
And as I say, from I brought up first with the council last year, in March of last year, and it's been going on for some time. You know, it's all been different things. There's all a whole load of stuff about it. You've got council officers with every reason why you can't do it, because they are managing these things, and it's not really being managed for the benefit of the community. It's being managed for the benefit of keeping people in jobs, of putting of just the sheer logistical side of it, you know, rather than the benefits you can get from it.
So you're talking about is basically if it were possible to take back one of the community properties and develop it into a hub for the community itself. Local groups could actually use the space and make it more, because they lie empty most of the time, these properties.
This is the big problem, but they have set up such a system, you know, whereby you've got to get a card to get in, and it's a nightmare of a system.
And
the charges to go on there are nothing, you know. And yet, you know, these are the same people who can write into the leasing policies and constitution of other clubs, you know, that the they've got to put the place out for lease, you know, at no charge for groups of community things. That's what they put back on the community, you know, the groups who use them. And it's really, I mean, the whole thing is that, you know, you've got this debate going on today, you know, which is about, you know, money, you know, and everything else like that. And, you know, the thing is there that everybody's talking about the money side of it, you know, but really, I mean, the big thing is it's where do the people fit in?
Well, I would also say, though, that if you don't get the financial system in place, then nothing else around it will work as well. I think they need to work in tandem.
I would agree with that entirely.
Great.
But there is this horrible, I mean, it comes right down from the top. Like, okay, you've got the Governor General who goes out and his New Year's speech says, Hei tangata, it is people. Mm. And you've got a prime minister who goes around saying out, it is money. And that's, you know, that's coming right down from the top.
I hear you loud and clear. Yep. And I'm very much in support of us getting some more community facilities back into the community rather than having them managed from afar with this and the ridiculous card system they've got now in place to get access. I came a cropper that myself. We had to break in through a window for a function that we'd organised. No property was damaged, I hasten to add, but it was a farce. Yep. Absolute farce. It was over a weekend, of course. There was nobody from the council there to let us in. It was to help us get access. But anyway, we digress from what you're here to talk about. As interesting as it is, we should focus a bit more on Wycos. So you're wanting to look at the community from your focus for this year is victim support.
Yep. Victim support is one of them. We've been trying to get people from Housing New Zealand across as well. Youth is being, there's a whole load of plans on youth coming up. And we'll be looking at the aged, the problems there coming up. And we've got a directory there for the age directory, which will be, which I'm hoping we can get updated. But it's sort of a lot of things we've had going for a long time, and the problem is that it just takes so blooming long to get around it.
Right.
And when you've got a group, you know, like we only meet 2 hours, you know, the first Tuesday in the month.
Yeah.
Everybody's welcome along, but everybody's got a heck of a lot to say, you know, and it is very, very hard. And this is why, no, this is one of the real reasons why we've just got to have a place to get together. And I must admit, we're really grateful for things like the Citizens Advice Bureau and stuff like that, but they're just absolutely sort of jammed up, you know, just hasn't got the space for these things. But they do, I mean, there's people around doing fantastic jobs around, you know, like the budgeting service today who's pinched your microphones and things like that. So,
oh, they're welcome to.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they're really great. They're, you know, these are the people, you know, who really do get round to it. And they've got the worst of the jobs, you know.
Yeah. But they actually make such a difference in the community. And they're often, I say they're the unsung heroes of Waiheke, really.
Yeah, well, that's what I've found, you know, getting into it. Yeah.
Okay, great. And what else have you got
now,
for us?
What I've got, what I'm really meant to do, and which you have really given me a hard time on, is on the directory.
Now, do you want a copy back? Right, hold on.
No. I've got.
He's got plenty.
I've got a box full actually to distribute around the place. But the directory is going to be delivered to homes on the island, households on the island, during the coming week, and people should get them in their letterbox during the week. We've had enough sponsorship on that, and from the local board and the internal affairs lotteries and people like that.
Yeah.
It's really good, so we can really get the thing around. And then there will be copies at some of the main centres around the place when I get round to doing it. All the things down there. If anybody is stuck and they really want them, they should get hold of the CAB. And there are copies at the CAB.
Right, excellent. So, and may I say that this is actually a really, really good directory you've done this year. It's very, very clear and well laid out.
Well, I'm sure Kathy, who did it, would be very pleased to hear that.
Yeah.
I agree. It takes a heck of a lot of work, and things are sort of getting up to date. And we're having a look at it. And we don't mind if there are errors in it. You know, please let us know.
Sure.
You know, the addresses are in there. If people don't like what's there, you know, we don't mind. We're trying to get it right.
Exactly.
And it's been one heck of a job. There's been a few people there, and we try and get one thing there, then somebody else has we've had our AGM and things like that, and they go on there and there. But we want to get it right.
Absolutely. Well, this is excellent. So it's going to be in delivered to homes. Every home should have one.
Every home should have one.
Right. Excellent. And keep it somewhere safe, because there's lots of stuff in there that people, you know, the amount of times you go, oh, what's the phone number for such and such, how do I get hold of these people? You know, it's got all the education stuff, churches, religious groups, emergency services, environmental groups, health and related support services, all of those kind of things. So basically anything. And of course music and drama, anything creative, special interest groups as well as a section for that. So anything, any group that you're looking for, essentially, should be within the community services directory, which is very nicely done. Excellent.
I would like to just point out at the moment that the other thing, which is really important, is just inside the back page, is a civil defence thing. Now, civil defence has got an emergency day on, I think it's the 26th of September. There's a special thing on. There are packages around being delivered around the place as well on the civil defence, and it's quite important now. We've had some of these things on the island, tsunami warnings and all this sort of stuff, and this gives the contacts. The Auckland Council itself has worked in with civil defence to put these things together, but it's one of the things we're trying to get the message across at the moment.
Yes, absolutely. And Waiheke Radio firmly supports that as well. We've worked in conjunction with Civil Defence as well. And indeed, if there are warnings, we broadcast them on air. So, very much in support of that.
Yeah.
And people getting their kit together, getting their getaway kit. I must confess, when we first moved to New Zealand, I can distinctly remember we had this is 7 years ago, this Christmas, we had a little portable telly. That was all we'd got hold of. And we were sitting, we didn't have any furniture. We sat in a couple of beanbags for the first Christmas. And I can remember tuning into the TV and seeing the civil defence warnings telling you to get ready. And turning to my husband and going, oh my God, we've just emigrated to a city. To a country, and what do they know that we don't is about to happen? What, you know, why do we need to do this? But actually, living here for a short period of time, you get to know that it's just common sense to have these kind of things ready and have your kit ready at home.
Yeah, I think a lot of it should come through, with people do and with what different groups do, and I think that where we're missing out on getting things together is in creating opportunities, particularly for young people, because that's where the message comes through. You know, I've heard a lot of stories about, you know, about the children being at home and then they've got the things organised and they've got you know, they're the ones, and this way you start off. And I think that, you know, we've got to certain of these things sort of come in there, and I think sort of certainly this sort of things like, you know, St John's ambulance, you know, the junior parts of there. There's things like, you know, learning to swim, you know, and sort of people doing, going on doing life-saving courses and things like that. And you also, you know, well, you can put in what you want, you know, but there's a certain lot of basics, you know, which you learn in terms of survival and everything else like that. And I think this is where, you know, people should be, you know, this is where we want to be sort of getting these groups working together. And this is one of the focuses that I've been on to with youth. Formerly, when I was in the UK, before I left there, I was, in fact, a youth leader.
I ran full-time
stuff on young people.
I'm going to hazard a guess. Were you in the Midlands by any chance?
I was. I worked in... I finished up working for Warwickshire. I was actually born in Cardiff. I'm Welsh.
Right.
I'm Welsh in support of a rugby team.
Okay.
But, yes, I
heard a bit of a Midlands twang there.
Well, I finished up in the in Warwickshire.
Right.
And, right on the borders of Birmingham.
Yes.
In fact, if you went across the road, you know, you're in Birmingham, you know, the first club I ran.
We've actually got some listeners from Birmingham listening in this morning as we speak, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, well.
I've had a couple of messages from them, a couple of my pals. So, yes.
It was just there, and as I say, I did train down in the youth work down at Swansea.
Right.
So, you know,
so that's your passion.
Well, it was. It's where I started, you know. Mm. And then when I came here and I discovered Waiheke, you know, some 40 years ago.
Really?
And, you know, I thought, heck, this is a lot different from the industrial Midlands and the mining valleys of South Wales.
Yes.
So, but you do learn things going through these things. And, it's been one of the things... you know, always concerned, but I think if you bring young people up in the right way, you know, and give them all these opportunities to do these things, then you're far better off, you know. There's a lot of talk around today and, you know, a lot of discussion on a lot of these things, and particularly you've got to, I believe, in making the opportunities for young people, you know, and so you can get there and talk to them, and it's, you've really got to, you know, you've got to let them have their say as well.
But
you need the leadership and what brings it in together, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, that's why I work from there. But I've now finished up and I've gone right the way through the full spectrum. I was at one time a member of Grey Power, you know, it was too old for me, like, you know, and it's too stuck in its ways.
Oh well, I'm sure it works for some people.
It really didn't work down here on the island, but unfortunately, because with one thing and another. But I mean, there are things like that. So I've gone right the way through the complete spectrum, you know,
right.
and all I've done all the time is, you know, so get people working together, which is what you've got to do, you know, in a community of this size.
Absolutely,
you
know. And that's pretty much what we were talking about with Wycos, getting all the groups to work together. That'd be fantastic.
That was really brought home when the Seaside Sanctuary closed down, you know, and things like that. That really should have made people think a heck of a lot more on what is going on around the place.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
These are the type of things. We can work together. We can do it. You've got signs around with the Red Cross. It takes an island to care and all this, you know. And you've got people doing marvellous things down here. But as I say, we really have got to bring all of this together.
Got to
because
coordinate
the
them.
Way the way things are developing with you know, the social policy stuff and everything coming from central government and from the Auckland the Auckland sort of scene, you know, it's pretty much, you know, just keeping it all in there, and, you know, they've got all the plans and stuff down there, and there's just nothing done. But we've really got to be a heck of a lot more clever, and I'm pleased to say, you know, you know, we've actually at our AGM, you know, we did have three members of the, you know, the local board down there.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And we've got, you know, and they are talking the same in the same language now.
Well, that's fantastic. It's all about being proactive, isn't it? That's the key in whatever group you're working within.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you very much, Roger. It's been fantastic to talk to you. I look forward to hearing what's going on next month with YCOS. Good. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Wakey Radio. We need to get a wriggle on, because as always happens when I'm chatting to people, I run over. So I'd like to welcome our now second to last guest, Forrest, into the studio.
Good morning.
Wahiki High School. Hi, yes. Forrest. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Very good. Had quite a busy morning so far, working on everything.
Excellent. So you're here to talk about your campaign that you've started and the wonderful petition. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, well, I'm Forrest, yes. I'm a student at the local high school, Wahiki High, and I found out a while ago that our school was using battery-farmed eggs. We have cooking classes, and they go through hundreds of eggs every year, and they are mostly battery farm supermarket sourced, that, you know, they bought free range and they could, but mostly it was not the so good eggs. So I was like, we have to do something about this. And the first thing I did was I spoke to the principal, and that didn't get me too far. I spoke to the food teachers and the horticulture and viticulture teachers, and they said, why don't we get chickens at our school? So we're going to be able to, we're going to get our own hens.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to feed them on food scraps from the school. We've got teachers and classes already designated to look after them, which is really great. Everyone's been really positive. But I'm leaving school next year, so what I thought I needed was a guarantee from the school that any eggs that they're going to use in future will be free range. So I've started my petition, which is asking just that, the senior management and the board of trustees to sign a guarantee that our school will only be using free range eggs. And it's just been amazing, the support I've had for this so far.
That's fantastic. Well, let's take a little step back. Why does this bother you? Why is this issue a big deal for you?
Oh, well, battery farming is pretty straightforward animal abuse, really. I would be quite happy to label it in that category. I've done my own research, and you go online and you Google battery farms and you see all these terrible pictures of hens, and you go, oh no, that's terrible. But what really struck me was I didn't really understand how bad the situation was in New Zealand. I found a site, a wonderful sanctuary and an animal sanctuary out in Matakana, and they rescue battery farmed hens, and they have images of hens that have actually been rescued from battery farms in Auckland, and just the condition they were in, that some of them had been de-beaked. The hens get so stressed because of the cages, the small cages and the lack of space they have, that they actually peck each other to death sometimes. So some farmers chop off the tip of their beak. Some had been de-beaked and they weren't able to eat properly. Most of them had lost most of their feathers. They had raw red skin. And yeah, it really struck me how close to home this is.
This has been farmed in Auckland.
This is something that New Zealand is really, really behind in, and something that we just absolutely need to change, because it's not acceptable that any animal should be treated that way.
Absolutely agree. And part of that as well, with the pecking, is that they actually self-mutilate as well, these animals, when they're stressed. And so they pluck all their own feathers out, and then they pluck at their own skin, because they're actually in great distress.
Yep. Each hen is allowed less than A4 sized piece of paper to move on around. And if anyone's actually seen a brown shaver or red shaver, the hens most commonly used in battery farms, they are quite big, and that's pretty much their whole body space. So
they don't have room to turn around very comfortably.
They're put in little cages with about 4 or 5 hens each with less than A4 size piece of paper to move around in. Then those cages stacked in rows and columns, and a shed can have like 50,000 birds in it. And it's just horrendous. The raw red skin is from the uric acid that's been burning them, because their waste isn't cleaned out properly. And just it's unbelievably horrific.
Totally agree, totally behind you there. So okay, so you became aware of this, and you started this campaign to end the Wahiki High School using the eggs, which is great. Well done. I really, really, really admire you for doing that.
Thank
so
you.
talk about where you're up to.
Where I'm up to? Well, I'm aiming for 1,000 signatures, and I'll be presenting my petition along with my plan to the Board of Trustees on the 24th of October. Aiming for 1,000 signatures, that's 1/8 of Waiheke's population. I think that it's going to be a pretty convincing number, and I'm up to, I've got more than 800 already.
Great.
And that's just from a few days at the market, been around my school, almost all the students and staff have signed it, almost everybody I've approached in the community, and the support I've received for this is just fantastic. It is amazing to see just how many people care about where the eggs are coming from.
Fantastic. Yeah, and so we should. It's not acceptable. You're quite right, in this day and age, it is just not acceptable to do that. So, okay, let's get to the crux of it. Where can people sign your petition? How can they, our listeners, how can they get hold of it and sign?
Okay, well, I have been updating on what I'm up to and where I'm at on the Facebook page, the Waiheke Community Notice Board. I'm going down to the market. I have a sheet at Vital Wellbeing, which is the chiropractor clinic in Onirua. But yeah, mostly I am just going around and doing this by myself, so I can explain to everybody if anyone's got any questions. It can be quite complex. People have quite a few questions about, you know, how it's all going to work, and
right,
most everyone's been quite nicely convinced.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, what about the library? Have you thought about leaving any sheets there?
Yes, I have thought about doing the library. I do only have 200 left to go, though.
But it doesn't matter if you get more than 1,000.
Absolutely not. It'd be great if I got more than 1,000. I bet I could, totally easily. Yeah, it's just keeping a track on all those things. I've had lots of suggestions about places I should leave them. I could leave them, and I'm thinking about it. I'm just thinking about the logistics. Picking them all up. Yeah.
Okay, I'll talk to you about that off air. Sure. But also, what about on the commuter boats? I'm sure that's you've got a captive audience there for 40 minutes. I wonder if there's anybody that might be able to help you out with taking a sheet around on the boat, perhaps.
Sounds interesting.
We can talk about that off air anyway. Okay, because I think this is really great. I've got to say that I'd like to just sort of publicly commend Forrest for this, because I think it's really important that when people find something that bothers them, that they actually don't just talk about it or just sort of moan about it for half an hour, but they actually get off the backside and do something. So well done you. That's really good.
One small little piece of extra information.
Yeah.
That's quite encouraging. In 1992, Switzerland banned battery farming. 2007, Germany got rid of it. And this year, 2012, the EU, European Union, so all the countries in that, and Tasmania, the first Australian state, banned battery farming. So this is actually something that is changing. People are waking up, realising that it's not okay for us to treat our animals like this anymore, and countries are putting legislation into place about changing this. Yeah,
absolutely. So come on, New Zealand.
I know.
Let's get a move on.
On the Egg Federation New Zealand website, one of their first lines of text on their homepage says that New Zealand is very well known for our good standards of animal welfare, which I thought was somewhat ironic and quite misleading, actually. Quite
absolutely.
Shocked to see that. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, who knows where this campaign could lead? It might not end at Waiheke High School.
I'm hoping it might be able to spread. Who knows? We might be able to get a little certified free range school badge that schools can stick to their school. Come to our school. We only use free range eggs.
Absolutely.
Just raising that awareness and hopefully getting New Zealand to change what we're doing.
Yeah, and it's not just the school you're raising awareness for. You're raising awareness in the community, which is great. Good on you.
Mm.
Okay, thanks very much for popping in, and good luck for getting those extra couple of hundred signatures. Couple of hundred at least. I think you're going to get more.
I do. I think you're going to get more.
I think so, yes.
Cool. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, my pleasure. Our final guest of the morning, we've got Marla here, who's coming to talk about the Waiheke Folk Festival. Hi, Marla.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, so we did just mention it in the What's On guide, but you've come in to have a little chat with me and tell us a little bit more about it. So,
right.
Is this a new festival? Does this happen before?
It hasn't happened before. There's been a folk club on the island for quite some years, and it comes and goes in strength. And I've spent a lot of time at a lot of folk festivals all around the world, and I love the quality of music mostly that you get at folk festivals. I just decided that I'd put your own together and make one happen here.
Fantastic. Yeah. I love it. I love people that just do stuff like that. This is great.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about it. When is it?
So it's the 28th to the 30th of September.
Yeah.
28th, Friday evening, there's a sing-around session at Beachfront Cafe.
So what's that mean? What's that?
That means that anybody that wants to be there can come along and either sing or just listen to the music.
Oh, great. That's sing together or sing on their own? Or?
Singing in the round usually means that somebody will take a, like go around a circle of musicians each person will take a turn to do a song. Everyone else can join in if they want to or just sit and listen. And the I suppose one thing that to say is that you don't have to be a musician to be at a folk festival.
Right.
To be, you know, like, musicians need an audience.
Absolutely.
You know? So if you like to listen to good music, this is where you can find some really, really good music that weekend.
Excellent.
Saturday evening, I've got guests coming in from Auckland, from Raglan, and a few people from on the island.
Oh, cool.
So Auckland musicians, Chris Priestley, who's a very, very well-known folk musician all around Auckland and very highly regarded, wonderful guitarist, beautiful voice, and is now writing his own songs with New Zealand backgrounds. Angela Fox was here as part of Chilele a few months ago and sings, like she's just got the most beautiful, beautiful voice, and she tends at the moment to be singing kind of ragtime, slightly bluesy, slightly jazzy.
Nice, bit smoky.
Yeah, bit smoky, that's the word for it. Mm. Yeah. And the couple that are coming up from Raglan, Wilkie Mac, are more fiery.
Oh, okay.
But also, you know, part of their bio says that they can bring you to tears as well.
Oh, wow.
So kind of very... very
that's
much
eclectic, and sort of mix that.
Very eclectic and very much like often people think of folk music as traditional and boring.
Yeah.
But my take on folk music is contemporary music that's got meaning and has excellent musicianship.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah.
Okay, so tell me what's happening on the Saturday.
So Saturday is mostly for people that are from out of town, just a quiet, you know, and enjoying Waiheke Day. Saturday
but locals
evening.
Are welcome, of
oh,
course.
Locals yeah. are welcome, yeah. Saturday, there's several places. The people from coming from out of off Waiheke will be staying at Kinna Backpackers.
Yeah.
And there's several little kind of nice places around to sit and play music outside. So if anyone kind of just wanted to cruise
have a bit
up
of a
and
jam.
Have a bit of a jam yeah, outside.
Cool.
Yeah. Then Saturday evening, we're going to have a 60s party.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be a 60s feast starting at 6:30 and then followed by a concert. So, you know, dress up in 60s, have some fun, have some reminiscing.
Oh, great.
And yeah, definitely. That's the main concert of the weekend, and that's where the
so that's a concert and a dance as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's at Onatangi Hall, is it?
That's at Onatangi Hall.
Great,
yeah. And then Sunday at Onatangi Hall again, a shared meal this time because food always goes really well with what we're doing. And
it does with everything, doesn't it, really?
yeah, you can tell I'm into food.
me too, I echo that.
And at the same time as having a shared kind of breakfast, brunchy sort of a thing, a Blackboard concert, which means that anybody wants to come along
and they just
and jump up on the stage and do a few songs.
Great. Mm. Okay, that sounds
yeah. And excellent. Again, you know, like if you just want to be there to listen to the music, that's great.
Just come along.
And yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, so there's going to be more information in the local papers as we get closer.
Have you got
anything online?
I've got a Facebook page called Waiheke Folk Festival.
Great. Okay, so
and,
Waiheke Folk Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, that sounds great. Really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And lots of fun.
Lots of fun. Yeah. So, and very relaxed fun.
Yeah.
And,
folk festivals are.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my my favourite experiences from festivals many years ago was I used to go to a bluegrass festival
oh, wow.
in Edale, somewhere in the UK, and that was, they had a little folk section there as well. It was great, yeah. Fun, excellent.
Yeah, well, folk and bluegrass tend to go together.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
folk's a little more relaxed.
It
usually.
Is. Yeah, yeah. A little less frantic.
Yeah.
A little less frantic,
exactly,
shall we say?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Well, really nice to meet you, Marla. Thanks
Thank
very much
you.
For coming on, and I wish you all the best with that. I think hopefully
I'll be back here.
Yeah. Absolutely. Come and tell us how it's going. Yeah.
Great.
All right. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.